Bob Baker here with another audio interview on book promotion with some of my favorite people, and I'm on the phone right now with Janet Spurr. Hello, Janet.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Now, I know we just saw each other in New York, but what state do you live in?
I live just north of Boston in a little seashore town called Marblehead, Mass., which is right next door to Salem, Mass.
That's right. I can't get it in my head that you're from Boston, but yeah.
Well, that's because sometimes you hear the accent and sometimes you don't.
Sometimes it's a giveaway when you can detect it. You know?
Yes.
But I got to tell people a little bit about our history. We actually first met when I attended Book Expo and Publishing University a little over a year ago in Los Angeles, and I reminded you recently that how we met is I went into a John Kramer workshop, and which was pretty open, and there was like one seat up towards the front, and I kind of snuck my way and sat down, and you happened to be sitting right next to me, and that's how we first struck up a conversation back in Los Angeles. We kept running into each other and hanging out, and my girlfriend Pookie and the three of us were getting along, you know, well. And then a year went by, and then we ran into each other again in New York for the same event, Book Expo and Publishing University, and you were a speaker this past time, which I was thrilled. It's nice when you go from being in the audience to being up in front of the group.
It was great.
And I remember when we first met in Los Angeles, though, didn't your book just come out? It's called Beach Chair Diaries. The subtitle is Summer Tales from Maine to Maui. But when we first met, had it just come out? Or?
Right. It had just officially come out. And actually, it had been available a few weeks prior to that. Perhaps I should explain my full-time job has been as a women's accessory sales rep for the last 24 years.
Oh, wow.
I sell women's costume jewelry and trendy accessories to stores throughout New England, and a lot of them are in coastal resort areas. So after hearing about my book for the last 8 years, I made them buy it.
So you were already in the – yes, I was curious. I always like to know the personal motivations, because I've often said that publishing a book is quite often a very personal endeavor. You're either revealing something about yourself or sharing some knowledge or some story that's very close to you. And so, I was curious about why Beach Chair Diaries came to a being. I assume you're drawn to the beach.
You could say that. It's my first favorite place to be, and this weekend when it was finally sunny and warm and I was on the way to a book signing, I convinced myself that the beach is my first favorite place to be, and indoors at a book signing, it's my second favorite place to be. And I was brought up on the beach, and about 10 years ago I put all the family movies on a video, and I was kind of shocked to see that 99% of all the family movies we had were actually not only at the beach but in the water.
Wow.
And so my parents actually met at the beach. My grandparents had a guest house in Cape Cod, two blocks from the beach, and basically beach was in the Spur blood. And my father actually once filled up the basement with sand to have a beach party in it.
Wow.
So I kind of had to love the beach. And when I started writing fiction, then I switched to children's books, then I switched to screenwriting, and I realized that short essays really worked for me. And what really worked for me was to write what I love. I mean, you hear that everywhere, write what you love. And I love summer, and I love the beach, and anything to do with summer. And then in one writer's workshop or group I was at, this wonderful British woman said, "Oh, you should write about summertime and yacht clubs and sailing and beaches and put it into a book." And I thought, I could do that. And it's been a lot of work, but what's happened since the book did come out a year ago has been overwhelmingly wonderful.
Yeah, well, a lot has happened. Like I said, we didn't see each other for a year, and just recently, like I said, in New York. Now, I'll let you reveal the sales figure, but how many books have you sold in that year?
A little over 2,300.
That is wonderful. I mean, of course, my major publisher standards, that would be a pretty small amount, but by self-published author standards, that's a heck of a good first year right out of the gate. I mean,
it's been a great diet too.
a great what?
Diet.
How so?
Because you don't really eat; you just work and sell and promote the book, and you don't eat. So it's a good diet. I should write a book on how to diet and publish your book.
Didn't you say how to sell 2,300 books and lose 20 pounds?
Yeah, that would be a good title.
Now, so of course I've got to ask, what happened, how you did that. But I will go back to when we first sat next to each other, and I saw over a year ago, and I saw your book then. I noticed right off the bat you had a nice little endorsement on the cover from none other than Jack Canfield of Chicken Soup for the Soul. And how did that? And you also got also on the back cover from Sam Horn, who's a pretty successful author too. So you did the things right by going after some endorsements.
Right. Those all actually, I think all of the endorsements came from attending the Maui Writers Conference for 10 years. Back in 96, I think when I went to the Iowa Writers Conference, I thought to myself, Iowa's really nice, but I'm never going to go to another conference except if it's by the beach. And I started going to the Maui Writers Conference, and I love the caliber of writers there, the speakers. Jack Canfield taught workshops at the time there, which were outstanding, and he's on the board of the Maui Writers Conference. And Sam Horn was actually my book coach and probably one of the biggest people who helped me out in every way possible. So I can't say enough about Sam. And so I was able to ask these people as they saw my project grow and they saw that I was a serious writer, would they endorse my book? And, they were all such great, great people to do that. And to this day, I'll never forget it.
That's pretty cool. And I've heard about the Maui Writers Conference for many years. I've never attended it, but it makes sense that you would be drawn to it, especially the word Maui is in the subtitle of
right.
Your book. Summer Tales from Maine to Maui. So I would see why you'd want to go there for a couple of reasons. But now a lot of people, know that I publish books on music marketing, so I'm pretty much, informational nonfiction, and quite often you hear people say, well, it's easy for you to sell a lot of books because you've got nonfiction. It's a specific topic that addresses a problem that people have about self-promotion, and quite often people that write novels or short stories or memoirs or whatever, are sort of wallowing in, obscurity and mm-hmm. not many sales, but you managed to debunk that myth. And so now I got to ask you what steps you took other than losing some weight and losing sleep probably over the past year. So yeah, tell me, you already mentioned your the jewelry sales and how I'm sure you tapped into that customer base, but let's go through, just give me some of the insider tips on what you did.
Well, one thing that helped was deciding to go with Lightning Source as my print-on-demand company, because what I didn't realize was so important at the time was that when you go with Lightning Source, you're able to be listed with Ingram, which got me in the door of a lot of bookstores. So in many of the little towns that I sell to, if the store owner or the boutique or the gift shop that I sell to, the accessories to, if they didn't want to purchase my book, then I would go across the street to the bookstore and or call the bookstore.
Cool.
And I'm really glad that I researched a lot of these different companies before I decided to go with Lightning Source, because they are the best choice and the best price, and I've been really happy with what they've done. And what I also recommend to any author is to just join as many organizations as you can. I mean, I think that really helps not only to connect you with other writers, but also to gather as many emails as you can. And I just realized my email list is 1,100 people, which is insanely good, I guess. But when trying to find someone's name, it's a little difficult. But I joined the National Writers Union 7 or 8 years ago, and they've been wonderful. And they have a great small group in Boston, and you're able to send out through their Yahoo group list any question you have, and then at the end of every month they ask you for something you may have done, such as a book signing or something like that. And I found that to be really helpful. Matter of fact, I'm teaching a workshop for them in July of next month on sales boot camp for authors. And so I found that way to be a good connection. I found the organization that we met through, the Independent Book Publishers of America, the IBPA, one of the best organizations to belong to as far as networking with a lot of people that are independent publishers and to gather their emails. And then I've also joined the New England Booksellers Association, which gave me a list of all the independent bookstores in New England. And I've worked that list hard for the last year, and that's gained me a lot of sales as well. So by gaining a lot of emails through these associations and emails of friends and asking people to forward your emails, that's helped to sell my book, I believe, as well as I set up over 20 or 25 events in the last year, too.
Cool. So of those 2,300 books that you've moved, do you have a sense of what percentage of them, like, were moved through retail stores versus maybe, you know, live events?
About 70 to 75% were sold directly by me to the retail stores.
Okay. So that, yeah, that's an important distinction to make, because quite often when people think about retail sales, they think of going through a distributor and just getting it mass, you know, into the system through a distributor. But you, I guess you took advantage of that. Yeah, I didn't realize when you first said the costume jewelry thing that you were selling directly to stores. So you already had a relationship, I guess, with a number of small retail kind of gift shop places.
Right.
And so that I always say leverage what you have, you know, what you've got to work with, and that obviously was an obvious choice for you because you already knew them, and even though it wasn't a jewelry item, you said, hey, here's a book I published.
Right. And a lot of them do carry books now. Actually, somebody said to me once that they prefer buying books in a small gift shop because they find going into a bookstore a little overwhelming, which going into a bookstore for me is as good as going into an ice cream shop.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can see how people would feel that way, that if you were looking for a certain kind of, you know, low-key type of book, that you might be more apt to pick it up in certain types of stores or certain small independent bookstores.
I just wanted to piggyback on some things and clarify some things you already said. But, I, too, am a big proponent of Lightning Source. I've been using them for years and raving about them and recommending that people use them. And I think it's important to point out that Lightning Source is different. Like, quite often it's mistakenly lumped into the same category that a lot of these they're called POD publishers. I don't think they really should be. I think that's a way, but I like to call them like author services companies. And there are places out there like Lulu and BookLocker, and now it's called Author Solutions, iUniverse and Author House combined into this new company. And there are a growing number of them because there are tons of people that want to publish their own books. And they're basically their other services companies. So they're like one-stop shops where people can go and, you know, depending on the packages and all that stuff that you purchase, they'll help you edit and design it and print it and all this stuff. But quite often it's a great way to kind of easily get a book out. However, if you really want to have a serious career as an author, I always recommend that people go what I call the true self-publishing route, which is you hire the editor, you hire the designer, and Lightning Source is really a printer. They're not a POD printer.
Right.
They're not a publisher. It's important to make people realize that. So they don't own your book, and you have to totally have your act to – they're not going to help you design it or edit it or anything. You have to be totally ready when you go to them, but they're owned by Ingram, which, as you mentioned, which for people that may not know, it's one of the two biggest wholesalers in the world for books. And, yeah, that's a great advantage, and they'll service Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, and they won't sell – they don't have active salespeople out there pushing your book, but it's in the system, right?
Right. And I didn't realize how that was probably the most important piece – of publishing my book at the time. I chose Lightning Source because I was able to get my books for about approximately $3 to $3.50 a piece. This is after, of course, I paid for the cover designer, the interior designer, and the editor, which is an upfront cost, which a lot of authors don't want to pay up front. But basically, I was able to make a much larger profit on each book than these other authors whom I spoke to. And actually, I did a book signing last August with four other authors. And I could see their disappointment in the fact that they were making about $1 per book.
Right.
And they couldn't get their books into a lot of bookstores because it was print on demand and it wasn't distributed by a large distributor or a wholesaler. And so it is very complicated to, I think it still is complicated for me to understand a little bit, but I didn't realize how important it was at the time to have the Ingram name behind my book.
Right, or just be able to drop that name. It's available through Ingram.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is cool. And I'm glad you also mentioned organizations, because I actually started attending here in St. Louis, where I live. There's a something called the St. Louis Publishers Association, which is an affiliate of that Independent Book Publishers Association that you mentioned, which was formerly known as PMA, was the national organization. They changed their name to reflect, I guess, what they do now, independent book publishing. But anyway, I benefited greatly from joining the local organization. In fact, they embraced me so much that I was, before I knew it, I was on the board, and then I ended up serving 3 years as president of that organization.
Oh,
because I was able, you know, I was one of the few full-time authors who were members. And as you probably find out, if you just hang around one of those organizations long enough, if you have any type of success, before you know it, you're speaking.
Right.
You're on the board and volunteering. And
I did join the local organization here, the IPNE, the Independent Publishers of New England, and they did ask me to be on the board.
Right.
And I told them that when my book is on the New York Times bestseller list, then I will be on the board.
they quite often always have their eye open for fresh meat, as they refer to me. Anyone, he looks like he would. He's breathing, and he knows what he's talking about.
Get him on board.
Yeah, but yeah, I also thought it was interesting. Something I never really thought of much was that you also joined the book, like a retailer's organization, which a lot of authors probably wouldn't think of.
Oh, through the New England Booksellers Association.
Yeah, so you actually get down and got in and get to mingle with the book.
Well, actually, you can do that through IPNE, which I think is cheaper. And I did the key thing was that I ended up, it was worth joining the New England Booksellers Association because I got the list of all the independent bookstores in New England that included their emails, their phone numbers, the contact name, and that's been great. But I believe now I can get that through IPNE. So I did belong to the New England Booksellers Association for a couple of years, and then I thought, why am I belonging to this? And then I belong to IPNE now.
Cool.
But that's a really good way to make a lot of connections within your area. And actually, I think the New England Booksellers Association also includes parts of upstate New York as well.
It always amazes me how different authors, you know, because the same thing applies to musicians and whatever creative field. I mean, different people find different routes to success, and actually the route that you took is quite different than what I took. I almost have used the Internet exclusively as my marketing and sales tool. For years, I pretty much blew off retail because it just seemed like it was too hard to deal with distributors and retailers and the return policies and all that, and end up just, you know, going directly to the fans using the Internet, and that has worked for me. And now it's gotten to the point where now I have a reputation and there's a demand, you know, a little bit. I'm starting to get the readers or customers are now, you know, asking for it and sort of pulling it through the system more than me pushing it through, you know.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because, like some authors, I've found that I'm challenged internetally.
Internetally.
And so what I just did, and I hope everyone can maybe hear this and help them out, is I just hired a recent college graduate that was a business major, and she's my cyber assistant. Now, you can hire cyber assistants, but she's fresh out of college, and one of her last courses she took was called Internet Marketing. And so we've been going through all these websites and all these things, setting me up on social networking finally, you know.
You weren't even on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, right?
No, I'm still not yet. But I'm on Plaxo, which I realize is probably one of the old ones. But so she's really, really helped me. Actually, what she did recently, she emailed all the bookstores in New England and New York. Now, I have no time for this.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had three bookstores answer me. So that was great. You know, she worked a couple of hours. She contacted all these people. I sent one bookstore. One bookstore was a bookstore for twins and triplets. And she said, although we might not be interested in carrying your book, I'll mention your book and Twitter about it to all the moms.
Ooh.
So that was very interesting to find out that, you know, maybe the children's bookstores might be possible for me to contact because the owner might want to read my book. So sometimes these areas in which you aren't exactly strong in, such as the Internet, that was one thing I learned at, you know, last year's PubU was delegate. And
right.
If you don't have a lot of money, try to take on a student as an internship. Try to get a recent college student, try to get a part-time mom who's stronger at some things such as myself, which I'm not strong on Internet or cyberspace. And I sit there and work and give her a whole list of websites I wanted to go to, and it's actually helped out a lot in just 2 weeks' time.
Cool. Yeah, I know that I'm very much a do-it-yourself, a DIY indie guy, and I've been preaching that message, and I practice what I preach. You know, I've benefited from that, but there's a dark side of that too, to where I have to learn to delegate more. And I notice one thing as I get more successful, I have to remind myself that I'm no longer in that. You know, I actually it's not out of necessity anymore that I do everything myself. I have the resources to maybe hire, you know, a virtual assistant to do some things. And I have dabbled in it here and there, but I need to learn to do that more. However, I also like to remind people that with social networking, the more that you can do yourself, there's a certain aspect of it where being personable, being hands-on, and is really beneficial. And I'll just... It's just fresh in my mind because I'm looking at his name here. We talked about Jack Canfield being on the cover
right.
of your book, and I've been to, you know, some of his events and respect Jack a lot. But I've noticed he's gotten more active on Facebook and Twitter. But the thing is, I can tell that he's got somebody doing that stuff for him, and they're just sort of like generic posts.
Oh.
And so I think you can sense, you can kind of read through that and sense it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's just kind of cool when you know the real guy is there, you know, where I know other celebrities are like Ryan Seacrest, what is Shaquille O'Neal, these are people that are like on Twitter, and it's them actually posting, and you can, MC Hammer is another big Twitter guy.
No, is he really?
Yeah, and it's him, you know, he's posting, telling you what he's up to and responding to people and all this stuff, and so, and even experts, that, you know, are less well known, so there's some, so you got to kind of balance it out and do as much as you can hands-on, but certainly there are things, you know, maybe delegate the things where your personality doesn't need to be involved in it, you know, like contacting the bookstores or something. Maybe you can make it send a form letter for you, I suppose. And
right. Well, that's interesting that you mentioned that, too, because that was something else I didn't want to forget to bring up was one thing that I found is one of the best items to promote my book is to get postcards sent up with a cover on it and to hand them out to everyone. Yeah, you had them for your new book.
Yeah.
And I whipped those postcards out quicker than Clint Eastwood whips out guns. I mean, I give them to everyone, and okay, this is a funny story, but at first you're going to think I'm incredibly strange. I recently was at a funeral, and after the funeral, after is the key word here, at the reception, one of the people said, let's get everyone together for a reunion this summer at the beach. And I went to, you know, whip out my postcard just as I do all the time. And he took one look at it, and he said, oh, my God, your book would be great in our gift shop.
Oh, even at a funeral.
So I sold him 12 books. And so you never know who you're going to meet where you're going to meet them, and you don't necessarily always carry your book with you. So what I suggest is getting postcards done up. I actually get them done through Vistaprint.com. There's another company called True Vets that does them, I think, even less expensively. They're not that expensive. I change the back of them continuously for the amount, listing the amount of events I do. And I just changed the back, and I'm having 250 more made up, and I'm sending them out to all the bookstores. So I've emailed the bookstores. I'm now following up with my cover to place in front of them, and then I'll do another phone blast.
Cool.
Yeah, that's one thing I've learned in my sales job over 25 years is follow up, follow up, follow up, because you never know when things are going to change. Within someone you may have been in touch with before.
It's easy to sit back and, like, send out one email and then go, I'm not hearing back from them, they don't like it, or, you know, I'm not worthy or something, but it's just got to be, I use this term, pleasantly persistent, you know.
My two top customers in my sales accessory job, it took me 14 months to get in touch with one, and she ended up ordering over, I don't know, thousands of dollars worth of goods. And then the second one I sold to initially, she placed a pretty good order. No, a very, very large order. And then it took me 2 years of calling, emailing to follow up. What I probably should have done in these cases is maybe try to get in contact with the receptionist or whomever and ask when the best time is to reach the particular buyer. So you don't end up driving yourself crazy.
Right. So that sales job of yours, yeah, I mean, it's paid dividends in many ways, because you have an experience that a lot of people who've never been actively involved in sales wouldn't have had that and would be more prone to feel the rejection or something.
Yeah, and I find that people do have so many emails in front of them constantly that if you can pop up with something that looks different, whether or not it's a color postcard or whether or not it's something different than your average email or your average piece of mail, I find a lot of people pay more attention sometimes to the postcard than they would an email.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I think, individual case by case in different areas as well.
Do you find it helpful all too? Now that I know you a little bit, your personality, I have a feeling this is a factor. But that, in all your communications, you don't always be selling. There's a relationship there, and sometimes, you know, you're asking them about their kids or whatever.
Oh yeah, I mean that's one thing I talk about in the workshop sales boot camp for authors. Is you really have to connect with the buyer. It's really important to make an honest, truthful effort to connect with the buyer. Whether or not it's something that you Google and learn about their bookstore ahead of time, or whether or not you're in their store and you see a new, unique display that catches your eye and you mention it. But it's got to be honest. It can't be just – people can smell salespeople now. Do you know how you can tell a salesperson who's lying?
I give up.
Their lips are moving.
I guess you wouldn't know salespeople jokes just like lawyers know.
Right.
I know I want to respect your time here, so maybe I'll just ask you another quick question or
sure.
two. But you mentioned some signings and events, and that's one thing. Again, most of my success has been on the internet. I'm still trying to crack the code on creating a successful event of varying kinds. I've done very few actual, like, book signing things.
Well, you know what's funny is there's this great bookstore in Cambridge just west of Boston called Porter Square Bookstore. And I walked in at the end of last summer, and I said to the book event planner, I said, hey, you know, here's my book. What do you think? Well, I put a little more business-like than that.
Yeah.
And she goes, this would be great. And I said, well, could we possibly set up a signing this fall? And she said, well, we're booked for the fall, but how about in the winter? And I looked at her and I said, I would love to do. That was one thing I really wanted to do, was do book signings during the winter. And then somebody emailed me afterwards and said, wow, you got into Porter Square Books to do a signing. How did you do it? And I emailed the person back and I said, I walked in and asked. And that's what I've been doing with a lot of the Barnes & Nobles in Massachusetts. I just call up, tell them about it. And one way I've made my events really successful that the Barnes & Noble event planner in Peabody, Mass., Paula Moran, taught me, and this is a great thing, is don't sit there. Get up. Greet the people. And what I do is I hand them my postcard, and I tell them about my book. And even sometimes what's worked is I'll say something like, I've sold two, you know, I'll be really honest about it. I'll say, you know, I've sold 2,302 books. Would you like to be the 2,303rd book buyer? And I, you know, I did that last summer. I said, this is my 13th event on August 13th. I've sold 12 books. Would you like to be the 13th buyer? And, you know, you got to be honest. You can't make that up. And they have. They've bought, and it's great bought. So one way I make sure the events, I go through my email list, and I email everyone I know that lives within 5 or 10 miles from that area to come to the book signing and or please forward this. And sometimes I even put please forward this right in the subject line.
Do you do readings from the book, or is it just in addition to the
That's so funny. That's so funny you say that, because I was scared to death to do readings. I mean, I'd speak in front of a group, I'd get up and tell a joke in front of 2,000 people, but to do a reading, but I did do my first reading January after doing 20 events. And I did one in February, and I didn't die.
Still, you live to tell about it.
Yeah, and it was great. It really was. And actually, recently I was over at a friend's house, and these girls had bought my book, and they were all excited, and they were like, will you read us? And I'm like, you know, I did. And I fumbled, and it was fine, you know. It was no big deal. And then actually one of my dreams is coming true next month. I'm doing actually a book group on the beach in Marblehead on a Friday night.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, so excited.
Cool. I've heard of authors that is like, you always think of a signing as like, you know, an hour or something where the, you know, the author is there. And there's been some people, and I just, this doesn't appeal to me necessarily, but I can see how it worked, but they'll just like set up, like be planted, like be in a bookstore for hours, you know, I don't know, 4 or 6 hours.
Oh, yeah, I did one this weekend. It was 4 hours.
Did you just kind of walk around and talk to people and go, hey, here's, you know. And,
well, no, I stand right by the door and grab them as they come right in the door. And, you know, what's better than standing around in a bookstore? I mean, it's great.
Somewhere you want to be anyway, right?
Yeah, it really is good. And I'll tell you, some of the best conversations I've had with people have been the people I've met over the last year at the bookstores at my signings.
And unlike the internet, of course, which is my domain, and, you know, it's worked well for me, but there's something about that, probably that face-to-face connection with people. Oh, you're the author? I'm speaking to the author, and I get a signed copy right now? You know, I can see where you, that wouldn't move a lot of people. Or, you know,
it's so funny. I mean, literally, this one bookstore in Cambridge, Porter Square Books, does have a green room.
Green room.
I'd like, you know, in the TV shows, the green room, so you can stay in there before you do the signing. And I, you know, it's fabulous. You know, they treat you like a rock star. It's really been probably not just the signings, but this whole last year has been the most fulfilling year of my life. And it's just amazing what I've learned. And I can really only thank, you know, people like yourself who have done great workshop that I've learned from, and, you know, Jack Canfield and Sam Horn and all these people who have taken the time to help me through this process. And I can only hope I can help people through their process as well.
Awesome. The more successful you are, the more people are going to be picking your brain, too. So Janet, where can people find out about the book or more about you?
Well, it's easy. You can either go to beachchairdiaries.com, and if you're like me and misspell diaries a lot, even now, you can go to janetspurr.com. And the good news is my name is spelled S-P-U-R-R, but I bought both domain sites so that you can go to S-P-U-R-R, you can go to S-P-U-R.
Janet, of course, normal spelling, J-A-N-E-T,
right.
S-P-U-R-R.com, or the single R if they don't feel like typing the extra
letters.
Well, that's very cool. I knew this would be a great interview. I know we tried to hook up in person with my digital recorder in New York, and it didn't it didn't work out there, but it was worth the wait, Janet.
So. Oh, New York City is a great place, but I get claustrophobic around all those buildings. And it was fun to see you in Pookie, and we actually, it was great to hula dance with her in the Irish Bar, which I blogged about, so.
Yes, for those who don't know, Pookie is part Hawaiian, and she grew up doing hula dancing, and with your beach connection, there was a lot of, you guys had a lot in common.
We had a great time, and I really look forward to next Publishers University, and I can't recommend that highly enough to authors who are wanting to know more. It's the best conference organization that I've ever belonged to, other than, of course, Maui, because, you know,
right.
PubU is great, but it doesn't have the beach.
It's in the middle of New York. And next year, we're speaking in 2009, and in 2010, BEA Book Expo is actually changing their schedule, supposedly to go to midweek, and I know there's some, they're uncertain about when they're going to do publishing university or, you know, how it's going to line up with Memorial Day weekend and all this stuff, but they'll figure it out. Just look up Independent Book Publishers Association, and I'm sure they'll let you know when the time comes. So.
Yeah, and they have some great webinars that they do during the year, too. Plus, their newsletter is filled with so much information. I mean, 30 or 40 pages worth of extremely important information to learn about publishing and connections. And I can't recommend the organization highly enough. I mean, I really have learned so much from that organization, and such great people, too.
Very cool. Janet, I appreciate your time.
This was fun.
It certainly was. I can't wait to see you again in person. I'm sure when we visit, I still need to visit Boston. You know, I'm a online faculty member of Berklee College of Music in Boston, but I've never even been to the city.
Ah, well, I'll pick you up at the airport because you don't want to drive here. We're all nuts.
And I'm sure you'll show us a good time at the beach.
Yes, I will.
Great. All right. Thanks a lot for your time.
Great to talk to you, Bob. Thank you.
We will be in touch.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.